room, you can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut, so then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears, it had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Let's Get Freaky. Tonight, we are joined by Danielle. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Tommy. So happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. I'm excited to have you on the show. What part of the U.S. are you in right now?
I'm actually in Northern Virginia. I'm about 100 miles away from Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
That is cool. Cool stuff. Well, I found you on X or Twitter or whatever they're calling it these days. I don't know.
Right.
I still say Twitter, but I think X is the way now. But and I saw some of the stuff that you put out, and I was like, I've got to talk to this lady. And you very kindly said you'd come on the show, so thank you very much.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to hearing your paranormal experiences.
Yeah, I appreciate your interest in the experiences. You know, I really just like being able to talk about it, so it makes other folks, you know, it makes it easier for them to talk about it. So this all started for me. Honestly, the first experience that I'm going to remember, I was around 5 years old. Now, I'm originally from Eastern Kentucky, so I was in Appalachia at the time with my grandmother. We went into a thrift store and I was kind of getting separated from my family, but it's not a big store. So, you know, I wasn't lost, but they were far enough off that they were away from me. And inside of my own mind, a woman spoke to me, a female's voice, and she said, "Danielle," but she sounded exactly like the aunt that was on the other side of the store. So I could not speak about this to my family. I really kept this to myself for a really long time. It was later on when I started communicating with ghosts and things like that, that it came to mind how much she did sound like my aunt, but she also could have been another family member. So I just never told anyone when I was a kid, you know, because, you know, they tell you you're not supposed to be hearing things like that. You know, there's something wrong. So I didn't really tell anyone. And then anytime I was in Kentucky, I would continue to have experiences. I just tend to think that the mountains are a little spooky there. My next paranormal experience, though, I'm going to do it in order of age. So the next one that I remember, I'm in the fifth grade and my parents buy a new house, and it's the first night that we sleep in it. And this one, however, is here in Virginia. And the first night, something that is not there, completely invisible, grabs me by my ankles, by both ankles, and slams me on the floor. Took my breath away. Yeah, it was terrifying. And I remember like waking up and I was back in my bed. So I remember being hit on the floor and I remember being back on my bed. But at that time, you know, when we were kids, people weren't talking about abductions and things like that. So this had never crossed my radar. I had made all kinds of terrible, scary things up in my head as a kid, but I didn't really tell anyone because I didn't think they would believe me. My parents weren't very understanding about those types of things. So generally throughout my childhood, I would just have things that would happen, whether it would be like electronics or there would be movements of things. I would watch Poltergeist and it would terrify me because, you know, I had seen things like this happen, not as dramatized as the movie, but, you know, I've seen things move like that before.
Yeah.
And then when I graduated high school, just had graduated, and this is when the big one came. One of my favorite experiences, I'm going to say, I'm with my friend. We're driving in my car. I'm driving. He's my passenger. And we're in Eastern Kentucky, and this is in the Lost Creek section of Hazard, Kentucky. And my car hits the pavement, and, you know, you expect, you're driving in daylight, you know, you expect that to remain day. But what caught our attention is as soon as my car hit that pavement, it was like we went from dirt daylight to pavement night. And soon as it hit the pavement, everything around was like dark, which made us look up. And when we looked up, you know, I started breaking down. I really, you know, we could have honestly hit a rock with this thing. It was so close to my car. Okay, so here's the thing. Do you know anything at all about the observer effect, may I ask? Because when I go into this about how we saw different shapes,
yeah,
if you don't know, that's the rabbit hole you need to go down.
Could you tell us a little bit about that, the observer effect?
Absolutely. Yeah. So when I saw it, and when I see it in my mind, I still see myself telling it to my mom that night. I see a round craft, and I see lights all around. And this thing is so massive. When you say mothership, you're thinking this is a civilization above my head that is just moving through the sky, is honestly what I would compare it to. And my friend, however, though, he has a totally different recollection. He says that it was triangular and it was concave in the middle. He said that it made his heart like kind of hum, you know, like a bass drum or something would. It was still completely silent, but he says he felt that. I'm still freaking out, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, I'm one of those kids who had to watch Fire in the Sky on ABC. They forced it on us when we were kids. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, you know, this is getting ready to happen to me. I'm thinking of the worst scene in that movie. I'm breaking down. And, you know, he does have different details. Well, I have the round idea. He has the triangular idea. And then more people see it. I post on a website in Hazard, Kentucky a little bit later, and this lady comes up and she's like, I saw it too. And I was like, are you serious? And she tells me how she saw it too. And then she went to the bank the next day, and that the ladies at the bank were talking about it, and how everybody was talking about, oh my God, we all saw UFOs. But she saw a rectangle, but the lady at the bank saw a triangle. So with the observer effect, so we want to really believe that this is a hardcore craft. And in that moment, it looks, it appears, and maybe it even is. But with the observer effect, you are generating that wholeheartedly. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure that out, and I finally figured it out. That it, you know, it is just the observer effect. You are basically generating it. And we know we were at the same place at the same time. We describe almost the same size. It's just everybody's picture is just a little different.
Yeah.
And it really, that one, it scared me so bad. I didn't talk about it. I was so scared.
I bet. But did the other people that witnessed the craft, did they have the day-to-night experience as well?
Well, she actually just saw all day. She saw all day. She said she couldn't believe that it was up there, but that she compared it to a football field. She said, so it looked like a football field lit up in the sky. But, you know, she couldn't believe how big it was. That was the thing. But the thing about mine and hers that matched was the lights all around. That was like the main thing that I kept looking at. I couldn't believe it. Like it, and yeah. It being so big, I still to this day, if we don't have that technology and someone else does, we need it, because I am quite sure that this civilization was completely existing in the size of this craft. They could, absolutely could.
Yeah.
So it really, I kept this quiet though. This one stayed quiet with me and my passenger. Actually, not, I take that back. We did talk about it. We worked together, at a call center, and he would make me tell people. I wouldn't tell nobody at all. And he would come to me and be like, Danielle, you got to tell him. And I would just be like, yeah. And I would look around and see who's looking, you know, and I was just afraid they were going to think I was crazy. And we kind of fell apart as, you know, talking and stuff. And 18 years goes by, and I finally get into a safe relationship where I can talk about it. And I tell my husband, and I, in that exact time that I tell him about this big craft, I'm at the same time on Facebook, like telling my passenger, hey, can you please tell him so he doesn't divorce me right now, or he doesn't lock me up. And then again, something else happens though. You know, I put that on hold for 18 years. I did not see one craft for 18 years, but the moment I started looking into them, it was like someone had just let them out the gate, and they were everywhere here in Virginia. I don't know if it has anything to do with us being so close to DC, but we're already used to so much air traffic, right? But as soon as we started looking into them, or I started researching them, talking about them, we would have experiences. We had first, one of the first ones that I saw that my husband didn't. And this is, we still don't know if it, maybe it was just because it was white and so small that he didn't. We don't really know. Or the fact that we were an acre apart, because we have about 5 acres of land. So I'm on the, we're about an acre apart or so. And I'm yelling, hey, look behind you. And it is it reminds you of the white cylinder, not quite a Tic Tac, but just a white cylinder, no windows, no nothing. And it's close enough that I can see that it is just a simple white cylinder. And I'm yelling at him, and I get really upset with him, man, because I'm like, I know you see it and you're just doing this, you know, because he has a little bit of a real hardcore skepticism until after a few experiences together. And then he's like, well, I give up. But this one in the backyard, broad daylight, you know, and we see the white cylinder go by. Then my kids, I have 3 children, me and him, my husband and my children were outside. And we are, I guess, kind of like looking over the mountains or something. And we see 3 or 4 silver little discs come up over the mountain. We live right along a mountain range, so it's called Massanutten Mountain. And then right in front of our yard is the gap. And this is where I've seen some of the best activity. So I really think that the mountain range itself has something very unique about it. Or maybe it's a ley line, possibly. But I haven't looked into it. I really haven't got to look that far. But anyway, I digress very easily. So back to our little... The thing about those discs, though, that really amazed me is one of them acted like it was intelligent. We were standing there, you know, and we're looking, and they come out, and planes don't fly like that. They don't hover, and they don't stop, and they sure don't, you know, turn around and come back and kind of make it like they're letting me know that they see me, and then they, you know, they take off. Yeah. Another one, do you have any questions? I'm sorry, because I will keep rolling. If you
no, that's cool. No, that's perfect.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Interested.
Gotcha. All right. So then a really cool one that I know was very aware of me because it came back. One was, I guess, maybe 100, 200 yards out. My husband and I were out in the middle of the yard. It was kind of dusk. And I saw we're going to say this was maybe a type 3 sphere I want to say, because it was a little bit larger than some of the other ones. It came out and it basically was just, you know, there. It hovered and it took back off. And I said, no, come back. And it came back and then took off. And so that was one of the ones when he kind of, you know, he started to say, well, I don't know what I saw, but he started to realize that it would be more frequent. And then it keeps going. Lord goodness. So one thing I'm going to jump into real quick. A lot of people do. I'm going to talk about CE5 and I'm going to tell you why I don't do it. I am a very sensitive person. I don't know if we want to say that. I really have never had that kind of officially said, but summer of 2020, when I first started doing all this, I found CE5 and I went out one night and I did the CE5 with, you know, when they do it with millions of people. And I didn't get anything that night. But the next day, I took my daughter to the mall. We were going clothes shopping. And right when we got in front of the mall, I don't know exactly still to this day what I saw, but it looked like a square, a very massive square, almost like a translucent screen. And it had like sparks falling from it. It looked like sparkles. Like I have no idea. Wow. My daughter didn't see it, but she knew that by my reaction and how I was freaking out, like, what is that? Like there was something. Hey, mom's seeing something that I'm not seeing that's there. And I got scared and I threw my hand up and I put it in front of her like moms do. And it was just like that reaction made it go away. And I had thought I was crazy. I said all these things to myself, but I posted about it online and someone popped in and said, you're not crazy. I don't know how I can tell you this, but I know for sure that a round one would be a natural portal. What you saw was a mechanical portal. So either it had opened up. Yep. Something we had triggered some mechanism to make it open, maybe in doing all of our CE5 or something of the sort like that. I don't know, but I didn't get a whole lot of information about that kid. He found me on Facebook, but his name was Joe. I remember that. But he was real adamant that, you know, that was a mechanical portal. That wasn't anything natural. And I never CE5'd again. It's just like, I don't know that the two and two were put together. Yeah. You know, maybe it wasn't, but
for the listeners that might not know, can you just explain what CE5 is?
Yeah. So I guess it's like I was kind of lazy about the protocol. You know, you go out and you basically send your awareness on up to space and you then direct them to where you are. And you can do a couple of different ways. You know, if you want to do it with a laser pointer, it's kind of risky here at this property. We can't because we have so much air traffic. But I've never had to direct them where to go. And I have been able to direct them other times. So don't think that part is really necessary, but and people should be careful because it is against the law to use a laser pointer shooting it up into the sky. But the meditation and sending your awareness up, I know as woo-woo as it sounds to a lot of folks, it really, really does work. Really not sure how really yet, but I know that it does. I have now, since I did that CE5, a couple times I've came down my driveway and I will ask, you know, hey, are you guys there? And I'll get orbs that I take videos of and I post on Twitter sometimes. And these aren't like, you know, planes flashing. I don't get excited over planes flashing. It takes something really, really anomalous to make me go out and stand and take a video of it. And one of the last ones that I got that they came out really very quickly, I was like, how do I know that you're real? Can you do something? And it dipped in my backyard. And I honestly thought that it had fallen because I had just enough time to go ahead and get down and get in the driveway and get the camera up as it was coming over. And the people that did look at the video liked it because you could see the power lines. You know, I wasn't zooming in on it. There was nothing. I didn't even have my really powerful zoom lens yet. So I couldn't. So I was just getting the basic lens going over and it was still quite close. Let's see. I need to tell you about the definitely cannot miss. There's two more, two of my favorites. Now, the one that I am closest to, I love it. I really hope that I get to be those folks observing us someday when I think about this thing. It was right here in the gap in front of my house in between these two mountains here. It had to be a space tour vehicle, honestly, because this thing was flat like a capsule almost, but it was also rounded on the edges and it was clear. So it looked like it was made of nothing but glass, but it had an aura that I could see that was just changing as it was going by. And this thing was so big that the little plane that I could see, like a little far out in the distance, was just a little speck. I mean, it was bigger than I could. I really needed to get up close to it to be able to see it. But that's the only thing that I could imagine that they were possibly doing, because they were just gliding along silently. There was no disturbance of anything, but there were no clouds. I really wish there would have been some clouds so I could see and interact with them, but it was blue sky, so you know, great day for whatever they were doing. But it just, I watched it as it just, you know, it went all the way down the mountain line, and right at the end of that mountain line is a ski slope, and that is the last place that I saw it at. So I don't know if it took off or what, but that's as far as my view was going to get it. But it really, it was beautiful. I can only imagine that like I said, space tour vehicle. It had to be. Yeah,
that's cool, man. That's a cool then, book.
Yeah, absolutely. It really, I know that they were. What would be the? I couldn't think of any other use for having something so, I guess, see through. You know.
Yeah.
I couldn't see anybody in it, but I've got a new zoom lens. So this summer I'm going to be posted. I'm going to try to get some better stuff, hopefully. One of the ones that finally. Now, throughout this time, my husband was still skeptical, and he had a little bit of an attitude that annoyed me at the time. And I honestly think it annoyed the phenomenon, whatever this phenomenon is, because they keep showing up and he's just, you know, still, well, I don't know what I saw, and still with that skeptical attitude. So we're riding on the Interstate 81 in Harrisonburg, and you have to go 80 to keep up with the flow of traffic. You get run over. The speed limit is 70. So we're going 80 miles per hour. And I just joked to him. I said, we should go to the Hudson Valley and do the abduction experiment. And before I can get that out, he says, "What's that?" And in front of our car and in flying with us for our whole family to see, except for the teenager who wouldn't look up from her phone in the back seat. So four family members saw this one. He and the skeptical one being the very first one. That's what I love, because I didn't see it first. He did. But it is the smallest silver sphere that you would imagine. No wings, no means of propulsion whatsoever. But what I noticed, though, that it did seem like is like we had a total electromagnetic field all the way around us, and it was just stuck to it, because it, when we were going 80 miles an hour, it just clung to us. It was just there with us. And it got, when we got to our exit, it either disappeared or it took off so fast that we just couldn't keep up with its movement. My daughter and I, though, saw it really far out because the sun hit it. She said, "Did you see it?" I was like, "Yes, I saw it." So we really don't know. To him, it looked like it disappeared. It may have, but to me, it looked like it took off still faster than anything that I know that exists in our realm of technology. I think anything that we have, you know, it would blow to a million pieces if you were to try to move at a speed like that, as small as it was. So I don't know what it was, but I call that a monitor, because I really felt like from that moment we were being monitored, because, you know, I made a joke, I guess, about something, or if it was just the intent of wanting to be abducted, that, you know, of saying that, that did it. Whatever really brought that out, that was something that changed, and now my husband is a believer in in UFOs. After all that, finally. But that one, my daughter, my daughter, my son saw that one, and I was surprised that they didn't go tell people. They said, we didn't know what to tell them. We thought they would think we were crazy. I said, "That's right. You go ahead and you just stick with that. Keep with that. Just wait. Just wait." Yeah. But I don't want them looking into the phenomenon because of that, you know, that simple fact that when you start looking into it, it starts looking into you.
100%. And
absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. But I've noticed that even from doing this show. I've always been fascinated with the paranormal. I've had paranormal experiences throughout my life as well. But I really do feel like once you start looking into this stuff, you get that feeling that they're watching you as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the same goes with ghosts. So yes. I guess if you may see, I talk a lot about the paranormal stuff here at our house. So we live in a haunted house. I basically think that every house I've ever lived in has been haunted because I've had some type of paranormal experience, a lot that I was in denial over, but living here really brought it out. The very first one is really kind of creepy and kind of awesome at the same time, because I had just started meditating and I was on Facebook and I ran across this little remote viewing exercise from HUNA.org. If you look it up, HUNA.org remote viewing with Jim Fallon, anybody can do that exercise and do what happened to me. I know that they can. But what I did that exercise, and me being naive and new, I didn't know when you had a remote viewing session that you were supposed to shut it down, right? So I go straight into my meditation. I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking about my sister that had passed away in 2018 and how I was scared of Ouija boards. I was thinking in my head, I want to hear back from my sister, but I'm scared to death of Ouija boards. How am I going to do this? So that's it. I get up. I work from home. So I have 10 minutes to get ready for work or get my computer going or whatever. So I get my computer going. I get up to go get something to drink and I come back and my computer is just flashing. It is just flashing. And I have never seen anything like this, but I started crying. I don't know why. I just felt like there was so much love, and it's just very odd to think about that moment. I didn't even know that I was going to get an EVP at that time, but somehow I intuitively knew that there was a person that was there. So I have this wired headset on. I've even got it on right now, and the screen is flashing, and once I stop and I look at the screen and I say, "Who are you?" As soon as I go to communicate, it completely stops, like it's never happened, like it was never there. But I had already happened to get a video, thankfully. Didn't hear anything. But since I had been experiencing these electrical disturbances here so often, I recorded it so I could show my husband. So I'm replaying it for him that night, and I hear my name called in my familiar Kentucky family accent. And I was like, I dropped it. I was like, "Did you hear that?" And, you know, he did. And so I gathered also, here's another strange part and something. If you follow the creator of the spirit box, Gary Galka, he'll show you where, you know, ghosts are able to take the radio waves and manipulate audio whenever they want. So even at the end of this video, the trainer who was actually talking at the time, because I was supposed to be working, not experiencing ghosts, he says, "Yes, I am Virginia Anointed. My sister's name was Virginia, but we called her Jenny." Yeah, so I ran with that. I knew that this was her, but I didn't really have her full voice. I just had that, you know, that weird down a hallway yell. That's what it sounds like when you listen to that EVP. It sounds like, you know, it's just strange. So I go a year later on the anniversary of her burial, and I make a candle up. I'm a witch. I make a candle up. I light it for her, and I sit down at my table for lunch, and I start to feel like someone's there. So I turn on my iOvilus app. And she gives me J-E-N, and her name was Jenny. Jen is not in the log of the words. I have looked through the log. That is not a filler word. She was able to give me those three letters. Then, a couple days later, and I didn't get this video to a year after the fact, and I'm so stupid, but when I got her voice, it changed everything for me because I could hear her personally standing there saying, "Yeah, it's me." Wow. It was just a couple of days after that. And I had that video on my phone all that time. And I finally started questioning that first video, because when you're on Twitter and you hear people talking about negative entities and things, it's easy to start to think, well, what if that was something that was messing with me? So I started thinking, what if that was not her? And I was going through my phone randomly trying to find a video for someone, and I listened to this clip, and there she is. There's her voice saying, "Yeah, it's me," in her full voice. So I know that day, in the middle of the day, me by myself in the house, that I was able to pick up on that spirit box, her voice in her full form. So what I deduce from that is that first experience that I had, I do believe that my sister, I brought her from wherever she was at that time. Yeah. I am one of those people who believe that when you die in a hospital, you get stuck there. So I had worried to up until this point, but I didn't know enough about spirits or anything like that to even think about, you know, can I honestly free her from there? So I believe that the first experience was her physical soul. And it got ready, and she was able to cross over in that moment when it stopped. And the next experience with her is her on the other side. And I just think that because she, you know, she was physically affecting the things on this side during that experience, but then she wasn't on the other one. That's what hits it home for me, that she, you know, she finally has moved on, and that we just are now connected. I really do believe that we are. But
that's awesome.
I've reached out for her, and we have not gotten her voice in some time. And I no longer ask, because I take that as she might want to rest in peace. Maybe she has moved on. I always hear mediums talk about, you know, that there are two sides of the soul. You know, you've got that part that moves on, and then you got that part that stays behind. So that's what makes me believe that. And then having those two different, you know, she didn't call herself Virginia, but my trainer said it real oddly, like, you know, yeah. I am Virginia Anointed. So really strange. So at that turned into, we like to go paranormal investigating at large locations. So we went to Trans-Allegheny, and we were just newbies, really not expecting to get anything, honestly. We stopped eating meat for a week. It's a thing we do. They say it helps raise your vibration. I think that it's just that it lowers your iron level so far that those paranormal things are able to communicate with you. Don't really know what it is, but we do it, and I can tell a difference. Seriously, I really can. we did that. We go to Trans-Allegheny, and I carry through there a little $40 camcorder. And we go through one of the bathrooms on the fourth floor. Most people are very scared of the fourth floor because there's an entity that they call the wolf on the fourth floor. Well, Dave and I, we aren't scared. We're naive as can be. We go to the fourth floor where the guide is not even willing to go without a flashlight. We go down there, shut the lights off, go live on Facebook and say, you know, start knocking. Dave knocks three times, and it gives me something gives me two very light teasing knocks. And then at the end was a really loud bang. So they slammed a door for the third one. So yeah, I was a little nervous about that, but I was still only thinking at this time that that's a human. You know, this is a human messing with me. I don't have anything to worry about. So we go on through the night, and, you know, we hear a couple different things while we're there. We go into the famous bedpost murder room. And while we're in there, we actually get to hear the murderer, Mason, his voice. There were some kids doing an Estes method session, and I knew we weren't going to hear their responses. So we put our headphones on, and I think we kind of accidentally stole that response, and we didn't speak up about it either. We were just like, I'm not saying nothing. but he come across, and, you know, he identified himself on our headphones. And so we just got up. We knew that we would come back later when other people were gone. So we went to another wing, and then we came back later. We had brought Dean some toys for him to play with, and we talked to him, and he responded. I asked him in one part, I say, I know you're tired, Dean, because I just think it's sad. I think he needs to move on. I said, aren't you tired? And he says, yes. And him just responding to me, that was just enough. I was completely done. I believe this is real. You know, he's here, ghosts are real. But then I go home, and I'm going over my footage, and it's of that little $40 camcorder. And a little ways in, we step into the bathroom, and you can hear a grumble. And it's like, you know, not of any, if I was at a zoo, I would say picture the biggest cat there, that type of grumble. And then I'm walking, and then you hear hooves. I swear, you've got to go and listen to this video, because I swear you hear hooves. Oh, so wow. You can hear his feet behind me. I know you can, because Dave's not walking like that. He doesn't have boots on. I have tennis shoes on. Those are honestly hoofed feet. They absolutely are. And then Dave asks me, he says, can you feel anything? And in that moment, I felt a really huge wave of heat. So I say it, I'm hot. And right before I can get the heat out, it lets out a growl like no other. I couldn't believe it. I was like, tickled so much, because I believe now that there are definitely, I believed before in elementals and ancient entities and things like that. But whatever that being was, I do have to say that I didn't feel fear from it. When I'm in places where I have a reason to be fearful, I have fear. When I went to West Virginia Penitentiary, that was a totally different experience. So people hear me talk about this entity at this location, and I say I feel protective energy. I just feel like it is something there that we just don't understand. It is something ancient, and I really can't, I can't say that I felt that it was bad. It didn't hurt us. It didn't scare me. It just did the things that, you know, we asked. And
yeah, so you didn't hear the growl when you was actually in the moment. It was on the camera that you caught the growl.
Yeah. Wow. I probably would have, it would have been too much for me to hear it in the moment. It definitely was a favor for me to get you know, all the way back over here in Virginia and then hear it.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Yeah, but I want to say something, though. That entity, I do believe, when you think or talk about it, you can bring it to you. One night we were watching TV and something made me think about that entity, and Dave and I started talking about it. And then we came back to our bedroom and had turned the TV on, and we heard scratching on the wall. Not only scratching, but we heard really heavy feet on the porch. And I know he heard it, and he knows that it was real. And it startled me, but I have learned throughout my experiences, where your mind goes, everything else follows. So, you know, just be weary, or just be aware that when you look into these things, they do have the ability to come and check on you. And I know that sounds insane, but they really do.
Doesn't sound insane to me. No.
Okay. Yeah. I'm used to having to buffer that because I got my kids still have this whole stigma with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, let's get freaky. That is normal.
Good. Well, good. Then I feel totally normal today.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So let's see. I'm sure I have just a couple more if you want to hear them.
Yeah, I want it all, if you don't mind. Yeah.
No, not at all. So let's see. The other thing at Trans-Allegheny I want to say that we noticed and that we picked up, you should always, before going to a haunted location, definitely set your intentions before going into the building. We didn't do that, and we showed up early. Our ticket said we come at 11:30, but we showed up around like 4 o'clock, didn't have tickets, and my husband started to walk in, and he made it past the desk, and I couldn't, because I felt, when I got to past the desk, the worst sense of dread. Like, I've got to go. We've got to go right now. And I know I was looking at him like terrified. Don't know what's the reason, but I've got to leave right now. I said, Dave, we've got to go. We've got to come back. We've got to come back at our ticket time. And when we come back at our ticket time, and I do have a video that shows it, my Ovilus, the very first thing that it asked me when we hit the property was intention. So I told my intention and I asked that building, will you please come alive? And all throughout all of our recordings, all you hear is, you hear chains, you hear keys, you hear knockings on the wall. They are just like all throughout the videos, just banging on the walls. I didn't hear that. Fortunately, I wish, you know, I was in a position to help them. But I'm not currently. I do hope to someday develop some type of ability to be able to go back and help folks that really do need help. But there is a lot of activity at that location, really is.
Do you feel like the more you look into this, the more you learn, the more your abilities are growing and growing? Do you feel like it's...
Maybe, yes, maybe. Because... Definitely. I'm not even going to say maybe. Definitely. My spirit connection has grown since I've been using the spirit box. When I first started using it, we could barely get any responses whatsoever. Now I can turn it on and I get uncanny responses from family members and just random, you know, folks that I guess just want to talk. I have even recently had whether it is an entity disguising themselves as Grimory, One identified themselves as Grimory, one of the members of the Gaweisha. And I was really, I don't know. I don't know how to be. I looked into it just because I was curious. And a girl said that some folks, they do have experiences with Grimory, and those are ones that have worked on themselves. And so basically that was my birthday. So it was meant to be like a compliment on my changing. Right before her name was given, the words changed were given. So I do believe that for some reason, because I believe, and because I study about and I know about the Gaweisha, I believe that it would be very plausible for one of those entities to appear. And then also a really even ghost, human ghosts can be brought as well. Accidentally, not really accidentally, but thinking, another location we went to I haven't mentioned yet is the Farnsworth House Inn in Gettysburg. It was the location where the sniper shot the first civilian in Gettysburg. So it is very active most of the time. There was a child that died there, though, named Jeremy. And I was sitting around one day thinking about all that loving energy we felt at the Farnsworth House, because we really didn't want to leave. I had the best two nights sleep of my life at a location. All I really got there was a couple little taps on the shoulder and a couple responses. You know, someone said, yes, ma'am. And another one, I think they might have said, no, ma'am. But I'm sitting around thinking about that energy, and we go to do our next session. And I'm getting into the habit trying to get them used to three questions: who are you, why are you here, and what do you want me to know? So I say, who are you? And he says, Jeremy. And I was like, what? Because the only Jeremy, I don't have a Jeremy in my family. There's no Jeremy reason for Jeremy Ghost to be around here. The only Jeremy that has been on my radar is Jeremy from the Farnsworth House that I just thought about 2 days before. So whether that is someone appearing as him, or we are able to generate those experiences for the technology, I really don't understand that one. But that one really, really shocked me. So I'm thinking that the phenomenon does choose people who are willing to keep, I guess, looking into, or I guess, how do you want to say it? Furthering knowledge or furthering understanding. That's what I'm trying to say, furthering understanding on it. That's all I really want to try to do. So that's why I think I do get the most experiences, is because I don't want anyone to be scared. I'm not trying to creep anybody out. I just really think that it's all incredibly real, and it probably could happen just about anybody, but there are some other things that can influence it. What might set me apart from a couple people is I have had a near-death experience. I was dead, definitely was dead, down in the ambulance, dead. And I had a brief moment where I was in a hallway. I was in the hallway, you know, they talk about, I've heard people call it a tunnel, but, so I was in the hallway, and I noticed that I don't have ears. So I'm trying to figure out why I can't hear anything. And then I'm claustrophobic now, because I'm aware in this moment of how many people are in this hallway, and we're like all smushed and squished, but I can't see bodies. All I see are lights. It's like light being. So when I first started talking about this experience, I was saying that I went into a hallway with a bunch of light beings, but I just now think that that's our souls, what we look like when we are on the other side, when we have left our body. No one met me, you know, most people say that, you know, someone meets them and says, you know, you've died. And I kind of just think that that just means we've lived before, so we just know where to go. You know, my body knew where to go. I don't remember anyone telling me that it was my time to go back. It was just, I was there in that hallway, and then I woke up and I was, you know, being kind of worked on, trying to talk. Trying to talk to the gentleman to tell him, you know, because I'm real sick at the time. But I did survive that. And after that, that was when the electronic disturbances started. I started working in a factory and I couldn't work around electronics. They would throw me into the box room because I would go and the scales would shut down and they would move me to another one and the next one would shut down. So we just, you know, kind of, and it really kicks up here. The most I'm going to say, sometimes around when we do have a lot of, you know, like space weather, you know, things contributing. But, you know, we have captured EVP and knocking on the wall during that. So we don't really know what it's coming from. I theorize there might be underneath our property. There could be caves because we live right beside a mountain. And then I see a cave when I walk on one area of my yard. There's a hole. If someone falls in it, you know, they're going to probably break their leg, but it opens up down in there. So I know that if that opens up there, it could possibly open up here. So I'm thinking it is electromagnetic. I believe it will be very mundane once I finally figure it out, although it is still paranormal because we know that, you know, when these things happen, more paranormal activity happens. But I really want to find that reason for why it's just so increased here. The paranormal reason most people say is because, you know, there were 100 men that died here the night before the Battle of New Market. This was during the Civil War. The Confederates actually ambushed the Yankees here. So there were 100 men that died here. So I've seen full apparitions of soldiers. Yes. Wow. It was, probably when I first started watching shows, actually, I started watching something like Kindred Spirits. So again, I started looking into that, and then I'm taking my daughter to school or taking her to the bus, and I just glance up and you just see the soldier, and I see enough to know that that's a union uniform. You know, I can see it's gold and blue, and he's carrying his, you know, whatever he's got on his back, and he just walks right across the road, just pretty as you please. Wow. We hear cannons and stuff. So now, and why I think things calm down around here, every May 15th, we do a little offering to them, give them food that they would eat, give them tobacco, whiskey, anything that they would have enjoyed. And since then, our paranormal activity has been cut in half, and that I'm glad.
Yeah. When you saw the soldiers, are they full-bodied apparitions?
It was a full-bodied apparition, and when they look the way that one did, I feel like, unfortunately, that he has been here a long time and that absolutely is a lost soul. I don't think you would be able to see him, and he wouldn't leave that imprint on this side, you know, if he was just visiting, you know. So I believe he's a lost soul, absolutely. I saw one other here on this property, but she was full figured and she was just walking in the middle of the day. But our property adjoins to the George Washington National Forest, so for her to be walking through my yard barefooted the way that she was headed in the direction that she was, she would have had to hop a fence, hop a creek, go across the road, and then get to the forest before she would have went anywhere. She was gone in an instant. So I believe, because it's like a half a mile from a nursing home, that this was someone that had just passed, because she looked like a full figure. She looked like she was there. She was full figure. And I know her outfit, I could draw her perfectly, I believe. But she was there and then she was gone. So I do believe he, unfortunately, that little soldier, he had been lost for some time. And I like to think, I hope to think that when we do those ceremonies for them, that they get to move on. Maybe some of them get to move on during them. Gonna keep doing it, even if it does, I hope that it helps them, even if it doesn't, just out of respect.
Well, if the activity's gone down, they're happy with what you do there. So
right. Well, they are. Then we got to deal with all the other things that go on. But we pretty much know how to manage that. You know, I've got a mirror that I believe, I don't know if it is psychometry and I have some type of sensitivity or if my ex-father-in-law is attached to this mirror, but when I had this mirror in my basement while I would work through the day, someone would knock on the floor under my feet and then I would hear footsteps on the stairs, and you have to get like to the fifth step before you ever make a step. So they were walking up the steps and really, at that time, I was still kind of scared about the whole thing. You know, what's going on? I didn't know what was going on. And we put the mirror outside and it stopped. But I got worried one day. I was like, maybe I was imagining it. So I went out there, I took my ovilus and I was talking. And I was like talking about the grandkids and things. And I said the last grandkid's name, and then on my box he gave me an E because I had forgot one of the grandkids, and the one he called Ethan, he called him E, so he didn't even give me the name. He gave me his name, so we have some type of connection to him, and I have heard his breath, unfortunately, before, and it still sounds like it's sick. So I do believe we have a lost soul here that is my ex-father-in-law, and I've tried a couple of different ways to help him move on, but I've got some new ideas for the next time that we do a session, and I'm gonna hopefully one of these days I'll be able to help him because he was a good guy.
Yeah,
he was.
They do say that mirrors can be portals, certain mirrors do. So interesting.
Can't say I believed it. You know, I really don't think I did until he gave me that E on that box that day, because, I don't know. Anybody, I guess, could have given me that, but he called Ethan E, and I had forgotten him. So,
that's amazing.
Well, at the Farnsworth House Inn, I got to see that mirror, the one that they believe is the one that, causes most of the activity there. I took pictures and some videos of it, and I didn't get anything, but I didn't feel much negativity or anything down there. I felt that location was just really good energy. The little boy, that one was good, but I do have another location we went to if you want to hear about West Virginia Penitentiary. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. I want it all.
Well,
I've got all night, as long as you're happy.
yeah, I'm absolutely happy. So at the Farnsworth, before I move on from that, we got a visual at the Farnsworth House Inn also. We don't always take pictures, but I just so happened to take a picture of Dave standing in the room, and up over his head is a black mass. Whether it is remnant of smoke, maybe with it being the Battle of Gettysburg or whatever, maybe that's what it was. But you can see through it to the trim on the wall perfectly in the picture. I mean, it is just amazing to look at because we don't know what it is. And there definitely was nothing there that we know of. So it was something. So now we do take pictures when we go places.
Yeah, for sure.
I actually drove by one of the famous houses over here in Virginia is the Moonshiners house in Greene County. It's known to be very haunted. And I took a random photo. And soon as I looked at the very first photo, there she is. There's a little girl and she's perfect. And I am going to go back and there is a wide spot. I'm going to go sit in that wide spot and I'm going to help that little girl move on. Because again, I believe with me taking a picture there, that means that she is an intelligent soul on this side and she needs help getting out of there. Yeah. And yeah, and she, it was so, to me, when I look at the photo, it's so perfect. But when I was looking at it at first, I saw every feature of her face, all of it, and saw her expression. And it gives me the eerie feeling that she really needs to be set free. So yeah. If anybody, wow. anybody can help, that really would be wonderful. Because my heart goes out to any lost soul that, you know, maybe, I don't know why they would be lost. Maybe she needs to tell someone her story. That's what I kind of think.
Yeah.
But I digressed into that. West Virginia Penitentiary. We better talk about that.
Yeah,
so that one, I got to tell you about that one because I was nervous about going there because of the riot. So as soon as we got through the door at West Virginia Penitentiary, as soon as you go through the door, on the left, they have the actual electric chair that they used in the executions. Well,
wow.
I didn't even look to see that it was there. So I didn't know when I was putting my foot down that I was standing beside that. As soon as I got through the door, something hot grabbed my ankle, like just as hot as it possibly could. But when I got to thinking about it, I think I felt the electricity, some remnant of the electricity off of the chair, because the way it grabbed and then just let go, I don't know, it just kind of felt like maybe electricity. But soon as I got there, I immediately turned into a total butthole. I was just irritable. I was on high alert. I just felt all this negative energy, and I'm not usually like that in places like that. So I'm really, really irritable the whole time. And this location, it's kind of hard to do a proper investigation because they don't have you off in shifts like Trans-Allegheny. They really had it down perfect. So you would have time in an area and you wouldn't have to worry about somebody messing with you. Here we couldn't do that, but we've kind of floated around from area to area in West Virginia Penitentiary. But I, the whole time, was scared to death that I was going to connect with the guy that they boiled alive. They boiled a man alive. And
wow.
I'm so afraid that I did, because we ended up having to leave early. We had to leave out of there at 2:30 a.m. because I couldn't lift my feet. I was walking and I was in so much pain. Even during one of the spirit box sessions where Dave is trying to get Red to talk, you can hear me in the background and I'm just whining. I mean, it is bad. And he asks, he's like, why is my wife's back hurt so bad? He never answers us that time. He did answer one time and called Dave brother, but it had actually been way earlier in the day and we didn't know about that capture. But he didn't answer it this time. But it was, oh my gosh, just so much pain and so much physical dread in that building. But we ran into this girl and she says, well, I was in this certain area. I forget exactly where she said to go to, but we went to that area. It was the area where there was another guy that was tortured. He was drug up and down the pod or whatever, up and down the thing. And he answered me, but I think what he meant was he was murdered, because I said, how did you die? And he yelled at me, I didn't die. And my spirit box got the end part of didn't die, but I heard him, all emotion, all voice, mad, I didn't die. So we
wow.
didn't ask him any questions. I was like, okay, we're going to respect him and we're going to go on. And then, so from there, we went on down and we actually were able to go to the infirmary. And in the infirmary, I don't know what goes on in there, but it is so active. You can take videos and it sounds like there's 100 people standing there talking, and you're standing in the room by yourself. There's nobody there.
Wow. There is stuff. Be crazy to feel that.
It is. It is. And then there's just, it sounds like there's things being thrown all across the room, even when there's a group. So I have videos when we're with the group, just being walked up there, and when we're by ourselves. And during all those times, they are throwing things around and making all that noise, and nothing's being thrown. It just really damn sure sounds like there's bricks and rocks and poles and all kinds of stuff. It just amazed us. So we took a lot of videos up there. Dave, at one of them that I found really interesting, since we had been doing the three knocks, this entity decided to do three knocks on three different surfaces for my video. And it was like they banged on a cage, they banged on a wall, and then they banged on the drum of the boiler that Dave was looking into. So honestly, that to me felt very intelligent, like they were just trying to, you know, mess with us or entertain us even. I guess I should feel scared at some point, but I did have a scary moment in that, though. We did see a shadow figure, and I did get a video of it standing in the doorway. And if you look at it long enough, you'll see where it looks like it glitches. You know, just imagine some crazy scary movie where you see the entity glitch. It glitched. I swear that it does. It's so unreal to capture. And let's see.
Was that shadow figure? Was that how people describe shadow figures? And what I've seen as well is where it's darker than the room. But this was during the day. Was that during the day?
No, this one would have been, I guess, by the time we were doing this tour, it may have been at night. But the thing I want to add is it had a hat on. It would have been hat on. Yeah, it did have a hat on. So that is one thing that stood out about it.
Interesting.
Let's see.
What sort of hat that was?
Let's see. I'm gonna think it was more like a not like the Hat Man's hat, more like a cowboy hat. Like okay. Someone was standing there with a cowboy hat on, almost.
Interesting.
Yeah. Don't really know. He definitely, there was no one that was supposed to be there. And you, in this video that I take, the guide says, you know, did y'all hear that? Because, you know, we're in that room where all the crap is just, and it really sounds like it's right beside you. That's the thing that blows your mind. It sounds like it's beside you, but it's not. There's nothing there. But it really, that location, I think, would be good if you could get it by yourself. And you were able to really talk with people and find out about, you know, how they really experienced death. I think you could learn a lot from them because they've had to be there for so long and in such conditions. Yeah.
Sure. Super interesting. I mean, this stuff is terrifying. Oh, it's fascinating, but it is terrifying as well.
It is.
To experience it. And yeah, so interesting.
Yeah. I honestly, West Virginia Penitentiary, that one, it will cause me to stay away from jails. I don't know that I'll go back to jails anymore. I don't think they even really wanted to talk to females. They wanted to talk to Dave, which was cool. And you get locations like that. And that's why, you know, I just hand the stuff to him. And he's got a connection going now, too. They answer him. So, not too bad. Yeah. I think that might be, other than the little random things we get, you know, around this house, I'm currently fighting with our lights. And like I said, I hope to be able to fill people in with some mundane reasons for what increases it, just because, you know, it would be good to know that there is something that could increase it. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And I will make sure that I There's a gentleman that is doing a study on that also experiences these things. He wanted my blood work. I gave him my blood work. He said he would be working on this for over 2 years or so. So I'm looking forward to, in 2 years or so, his work to see what he says, you know, to see what it is about this, because he experiences it as well, but he's trying to find that exact scientific reason for why the brain is able to do it. And he has a really good hypothesis that I can't even begin to dumb down. All I can say is think quasi-crystal in our brain and the ability to manipulate it and control it. I think a lot of that's what it boiled down to. So hopefully these are going to be advancements. But regardless, the paranormal happens around them. Don't know why. I think one I skipped for you was one that was quite terrifying for my daughter. My husband was in Georgia. We were here, and the flashing on my TV started, and we captured a video with three knocks on the wall here at our house. So we're here by ourselves and don't expect, you know, anything. No one is at all going to be out at this property walking by to knock. So they were able to really use some energy and knock on the wall that night. So when it starts, I get out my camera most of the time and I start recording, but I'm going to get some more cameras, and that way I can take longer videos, because it's kind of hard to video the whole time. So yeah. Go ahead.
No, go on, you go, you carry on.
Oh no, you're fine. I really like to just capture the footage, like I said, to further understanding, but I like to create believers out of people.
Yeah, for
sure. I really do.
Yeah. Are you experiencing paranormal activity every day? Is it something that you're living with every day?
It is if I want it to. If I want it to, I know how to make that happen. I meditate. I think on it a lot. I study on it a lot. I eat less meat. I can pretty much tear myself apart to create it. Yesterday, I was just merely anxious and I created it. So I wish that I would have had time when it started to get out my spirit box and do communication, because whatever that is, they're definitely, if they're not using it to communicate, whatever during that time, it is just, I don't know, it's just easier for them. I just couldn't believe all the responses I get during it. But I hope I really get to get some really detailed discussions on the afterlife from spirits someday. That is mainly what I'm out to do. Now that my sister has, you know, told me that she's there, well, now I want to know. I want to know what other people should expect, and I want to be able to tell them that.
Yeah, for sure. And we want to know it. Let's get freaky. That is for sure. So keep
absolutely.
Us. Keep us posted.
I absolutely will.
Can I ask you, going back to your early experiences with being thrown off the bed and seeing the day to night switch, and then seeing the mothership that you saw? Did you experience missing time at all at this sort of time?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. And my passenger, he's the one that actually mentioned the time. He says that he was roughly missing 14 minutes. I don't know how he would know that, but I can't get him to do much talking. And I do believe there is a reason for that. And he would have to be the one to tell folks about that. But I just would like to leave it to just think about his safety. He is thinking about his safety. And this was 2002 or three when this happened, and people hadn't quite started talking about that, you know, that group, that body, that, or at least to us anyway, that would go after those type of experiences. And I can't get him to give me the information that I need. And I hope someday, I put him in contact with a podcaster, Jimothy Strange, one of my friends, real nice guy. He had his information and he won't talk to him. Why he won't, I don't understand. It's not that it's because, you know, that it didn't happen, because he's willing to talk, you know, like texting about it and stuff. You know, I've got all kinds of statements of crap he said, but he just won't go live. So maybe someday I'll get to reach out to you guys and say, hey, he's ready to talk, because
yeah, that'd be cool.
I wish that he would. I feel like this is a lot of his experience. And I've said this before, this was more his experience than mine. It's just me and him coupled together that day kind of just blew things out of the water. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we didn't have anything to do with it. That's where I need to go with it. I hate that thought that it had something to do with us. But where we get with that, where I was going with that is he actually had an experience as a child with them, because he had a major burn. He was sent to the major burn unit in Cincinnati. And when they were regressing him, he says that they regressed and found contact. And he told me this years before people started talking about aliens and UFOs and stuff. So I have wholeheartedly believed every word that he has told me, because, you know, it's not like it was a fad thing then, you know, we weren't telling anybody because people thought we were crazy. So I wholeheartedly, yeah, I believe him. And he kind of obsessed about it. And I kind of think part of the reason why he doesn't want to talk publicly about it might be because of something that I wasn't there for, but he told me about it. Yeah. And it scared me for him. So that's why I don't push him too much. I just, you know, I tell my experience because people need to know. We connected our experience with an experience of two of our other friends in the same area at the same time, but what they saw was at night, and they actually saw no craft, but they saw a blue light chasing a truck, but they couldn't see a craft. So what I deduce is what we saw that day, they completely thought that they were cloaked, and that middle light that was in the middle could possibly have been that blue light at night that they see. But they saw that light, and they had never told anyone. So then I started talking about it, and then it turned out the two experiences were in the same area. So my big thing with Kentucky is there is a whole lot of open land. I think that it could be used for a number of different things, whether it be military, whether it be extraterrestrial, anything, because I have sat and watched convoys of Halliburton trucks go back on strip jobs. And when I say these are convoys, you're talking like convoys. You're sick of watching them because the convoy has been going so long. Dude, could you hurry up and get done? Because I'm tired of watching you. That's how big they were. And I would never know where they would go. What are you taking back there? What have you got? For mining, they don't need convoys to take fuel in like that. They have their own ways of bringing fuel in. So they weren't taking fuel to, I don't know what they were doing. I never could get anyone to tell me where those trucks came out. But I don't think anyone ever really knew. We just knew that they came in on our end, and wherever they went out, who knows? But yeah, that area has had a lot of UFO stuff. One other thing that is very public for most of the folks from Hazard, Kentucky, is there was an event where something crashed. The news and the sheriff's office tried to backtrack and say that it was a mine had blown up, right? But you've got witnesses who have told the TV stations that they saw a big fireball right in their front yard. if that mine had exploded and sent a fireball somewhere, there would have been some type of, you know, debris or something. That it was not the case. My ex-husband and my passenger to the first event say that they were listening to the scanners that night and that they heard the sheriff say, "What's that?" And that they have been to the spot and that nothing grows there. You wow. know that if it was a plane and it was, if it was a plane and it had just blown up, you know, a fire, it would have been thick, I think would be thick and grown over. If nothing grew there,
yeah,
what does that say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't get anyone to tell me where it's at. It's very frustrating, but, yeah. I did get the two videos someone sent me, and I appreciate them, and it was telling me about that event. And I really do think that there's something going on. You can look online at another event there, probably 50 miles north from where I saw the first one. There was a CSX train hit, came in contact in Pikeville, Kentucky, with two, I want to say. And if you look through the CSX message board, you can read right in there the statements of the men who say that they saw those saucers go on rollbacks and go out of there. So they wanted to know why they were, you know, whatever they were being taken. And at the end of it, at the end of all the things, they weren't supposedly allowed to tell anyone. But that if you get online and you put Pikeville, Kentucky train and CSX, it'll pull that up and you can see there where they talked about it. And that one, I believe, is related to whatever they're doing or whatever they may have been doing in Kentucky. I don't get to talk to a whole lot of folks to know if it's real active now, but it sure was back then.
Interesting. Well, there's definitely cover-ups. You know, there's talks of crash retrieval teams that specialize in dealing with these situations. It's super interesting. I hope we get the answers. It does seem that we're getting to a time where there's more talk and there's more stuff out there for us to look into, but it is so interesting.
It definitely is, Tommy. Well, thank you so much. I really have loved talking to you this evening. I really appreciate it. And I will keep you posted on my experiences, man.
Yes, for sure.
They're going to keep happening. And I have a teenager they happen to as well. So it's kind of just an all-out freaky house around here.
Well, keep us posted for sure. You are welcome back anytime. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me on TikTok at The Moyers Haunted, and you also can find us on YouTube on as The Moyers Haunted. There, we're not really active. We kind of just dump some videos, but that's how you could find us if you'd like to communicate or just see our footage, anything we've talked about.
Awesome. Well, I will share the links in the show description. Danielle, thank you so much. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely, keep
safe and keep it freaky.
You too, hon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Let's get freaky.
Something's in your room. You can't move. You can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut. So then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears. It had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer. What?